take a look into Hebrews chapter 6 this morning. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. The plan is I'm not going to be up here too long, but long enough to get a message out, so that's the main thing. So we're going to look at this in Hebrews chapter 1. We're looking at the word perfection this morning. The Hebrew word for this is somewhere here, which I've written, which I can't find. The Hebrew word is tamin, which means blameless and wholehearted. And you know, I thank the Lord that the prayer that we've had in this assembly here has been that we get to know the Lord more and more. And I thank God for answered prayer, because I look at brothers and sisters who have grown and wholeheartedly grown in their pursuit for perfection. The fact that we are looking to perfection means that we're not perfect, but we know somebody who is, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's just read from verse 1. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundations of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. It's a powerful verse, and sometimes it could get misinterpreted. But what this verse is actually saying is, we have a foundation. The foundation's already laid. It's telling us to move on. It's not telling us to reject the fundamentals, fundamental principles of Christ. It's telling us to move on from this to a great adventure, which I would say is what the Lord has promised us. What builder would go out and go down to a building site every day and look at the foundations and not lay a stone on it? He wouldn't be much of a builder. He wouldn't have much of a testimony to bring to his bosses. And it's the same for us. As we have our foundation already laid, those of us who are saved, oh, I forgot to say that this discussion is really for the family of people who are saved. What testimony are we going to bring to heaven if we don't lay on that foundation and build on it? Because we know that God is going to make it perfect in the end, but he doesn't say to us, okay, you're saved, that'll do now, lads. No, he tells us to get up. Faith without works is dead. I mean, we need to move on. A few years ago, I was loading cars in Dublin Port, and I was walking by another man's car transporter. And I said to him, you know, the car's only barely on there. And he said to me, Ian, if I got into heaven by as much, I'd be happy. And at that stage, I wasn't saved. I don't think I was. I agreed with him. But today, I don't agree with him. I don't want to barely get into heaven. God has laid out so much more for us than just to barely get into heaven. He's so much promises and so many benefits for ourselves that you can't just have that attitude, oh, I'm just going to barely get into heaven. Romans 8:29 says that he's going to conform us to the image of his son. And that's our destination. That's the finish line. But in the meantime, we must go on and take all these troubles and strife, whatever, and learn from them. Just turn back to Hebrews 2. We see where God gives us a warning. He gives us a warning here in Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2 and verse 1, he says, therefore we must give the more earnest heed to things we have learned, lest we drift away. For the word spoken through angels proves steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Now, he's saying neglect. He's not saying reject. This isn't anything to do with losing your salvation. He's saying neglect, not take care of your salvation. I suppose there is a kind of a maritime or a nautical setting here where lest we drift away. We see ships, and I've spent most of my time working in Dublin Port, and I've seen ships. And ships come into a harbour. They come in, they get moored up, they get replenished. They get sometimes the people working on the ship start painting them. But it's a place of security. And what I'm trying to say here is, unless you're in fellowship or unless you're in the Word, you're not moored in the harbour, and we're not to drift. If a ship is drifting and drifting past the harbour, it's not good, because it could end up marooned on a sandbar, or, God forbid, shipwrecked. And nobody wants to be a shipwrecked Christian. It's in our hearts that we please the Lord. So basically, what God is saying to us is quite simple. I've given you the equipment. Use it properly. It won't be a burden to you if you do what I ask. But if you disobey and don't look after what I've given you, you won't escape my chastening. That's what this verse is about. He will not escape his chastening. I have invested in you so that you need to not to neglect such a great salvation. Hebrews 12:6 says this. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. So if you're getting chastened, don't be too disheartened, because you're loved. So we need to press on to perfection. As I said, when we're pressing to perfection, we know that we're not perfect, but we have someone who is perfect. And I have a few examples of a few saints, with no particular order, who have went through what we're going through. We've one shot at this. The Christian man or woman has one shot at this Christian life to build on that foundation. And we read, you don't have to turn here because I'm trying to get through this as quick as I can. And we read here, Moses wrote in Psalm 90, in verse 17, he said, "So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." It is imperative that we make each day count. We don't know whether it will be our last day. And we have to learn from each encounter, from each day. And Moses was saying that. Daniel 1:8, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Well, Daniel had a fear of God, and he had a fear that he didn't want to defile himself, so he wouldn't disappoint his God. And I can relate to this personally, because before I had my foundation of salvation, I had a fear of death, and since salvation, I have no fear of death, but I didn't lose the fear. The fear that I have is the fear that I disappoint God. And it's a very good chastening thing that we have that fear, that we don't disappoint our Lord, because he really has so much love for us that it's incredible. John 3:30, he said this, "He must increase, but I must decrease." And this is absolutely necessary in conforming to Christ in our journey. David in Psalm 17, verse 15 says, this is his prayer. "As for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness." That's a beautiful verse. "I'll be satisfied when I awake in your likeness." That comment that David makes really is the completeness of salvation in a nutshell. It basically says that's the finish line on our journey to perfection. Isaiah 26:3, He says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. We have no other place of peace anymore. Our journey, our place of peace, is only when our minds are stayed and focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 3:8, Paul here says, but what things were gained to me, I counted as loss for Christ. All the worldly possessions, Paul counted them as loss. And that's what the saints have said about it. We as Christians here this morning should be really counting anything that's worldly as loss. As Michael often said to me, what would it all matter in 100 years' time? Any just sort of trouble and strife that we have now. But we have to learn from this, and we have to learn to be more Christ-like. Paul had a great understanding about the journey to perfection, because Paul had the Holy Spirit in him. A lot of those other saints hadn't got the Holy Spirit in them like we have, because this is where we stand in the church age. So that brings me on to the next. With these examples, they should give us an inspiration or a guidance to build on our foundation, and to make our lives count, not for the world or not for anybody else, or not showing off to anybody else, but make it count for Christ. If you do things in silence, Christ will know. So our position, as I said, we're in the church age, and it started at Pentecost, and it'll end when Jesus steps out of heaven and calls his bride home. Our next appointment with the Lord is when he calls us home. That's whether we be awake or asleep, alive or dead. That's our next appointment. And God has made a promise to us, and he never breaks his promise. Never. He spoke to a certain lady by the well in Sychar, and he made the promise of the Holy Spirit, which hadn't come to her. We'll read that from John chapter 4, verse 7. John chapter 4, verse 7. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink, for his disciples had gone into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink? Ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman, for Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it, as well as his sons and his livestock? And Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I give them will never thirst. But the water that I shall give them will become in him a fountain of water springing up to everlasting life. That's the promise that he's given us. And my prayer this morning is that this spring that of the Holy Spirit that's in us, that we can irrigate this water into every part of our lives on this journey to perfection. I'm just going to read from John 14. It's a little bit of a reading and won't be too much longer. John 14. Verse and verse 15. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And I will not leave you orphans, and I will come to you. The Lord has given us the Holy Spirit. Those of the world have no understanding what we have. It's hard and it's frustrating sometimes to try and explain to the people what we have. We have the Holy Spirit, this spring of everlasting life in us. And this was given to us so that we can journey together. We're here together. We're to help each other. We're all on a journey. We all have our own different struggles. I don't know what struggles you have today, and I won't bore you with mine. But one thing we do know is that we're to be there for each other. I have a few more pieces of scripture to read from, and then we're nearly done. Philippians 3, 12 and 14. It's amazing when you're up here, you can never find what you're looking for, even though you're calling for it. Philippians 3, and verse 12, sorry. The heading over this little passage of mine is pressing toward the goal. Paul is telling us here, we read, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold on that which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I can't think of a better prize, a better goal than that call of God, the upward call. 1 John, and then chapter 4, and verse 17. Do you know, I really started this about a week or two ago, and I really have enjoyed this. I don't know how you are enjoying this morning, but I've had to kind of thin this down and shorten this. But did you ever open a press and everything fell down on top of you? Well, that's the way it happened with me with these verses. I've had been truly blessed that God has given me these verses. And here's a beautiful verse that he gave me. I couldn't leave this one out. In 1 John 17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we have the boldness in the day of judgment, as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Beautiful verse, beautiful few verses there. And the last one I want to look at, this is another promise that Jesus has given us, and it's in Revelation, chapter 3. Verse 20. This is the God that's going to make us perfect one day. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. Could you ask of a better fellowship than that? Imagine having the Lord coming into your house for supper. And the next verse is just, it's amazing. It's just hard to take it in, the next verse. It says, to him who overcomes. That's us who are in this journey, who overcomes. I will grant to sit with me on my throne. Can you imagine that? You're in heaven. I don't want to barely get into heaven. To he who overcomes, he's going to grant us to sit with him on the throne. Now, I'm not power seeking here or anything, but to be in the glory of that would be just amazing. He says, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on the throne. Could there be a better fellowship than that? Could it be any more encouragement than that this morning? As we look at a world that's gone to rack and ruin, and we can come into this and know that that promise is true, that Jesus stands by his promise, he stands by his word, and he's going to grant us this. And it led me to sort of a final thought on this. And I was drawn to the thought of baptism. And if you're not baptized on earth, you won't be baptized in heaven. If you don't have a good testimony for God on this earth, you won't have a good one in heaven. You won't get a second shot at this, because we're behind enemy lines, we're in the battle. We won't be behind enemy lines in heaven. We won't have the opportunity, as I would call it, an opportunity here to represent Christ in a fallen world. So, finally, I have something here, I think. Just to conclude with, Colossians 3, verse 12. This is for you, brother and sister, this morning. This is for me. This is for all of us who have died with Christ and have risen back up with him again. This is the character of the new man. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and giving and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. May God bless each and every one of you this morning. That's the message God has given you. I told you it was short. Let's just bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you this morning that you've given us this perfectness in Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you that we have this goal ahead of us, that we keep pursuing, that we don't drift, that we anchor into harbour of salvation, that we get replenished, and that we learn from our mistakes and we move on. We move off that spiritual milk onto solid food, and that we as Christians may grow together and help each other together, and we can put on love, that bond of perfection. We ask all this in Jesus' name.